the name something.
The hour is 6:30, and I'm calling to order the Program Projects and Operations Subcommittee. A copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted at the rear of the building and in the hallway. And with that, before we have quorum call, directly Leahy will be joining us in a few minutes. He's stuck in traffic, so we'll go ahead and do quorum call without Director Leahy at this point.
Fred Conley?
Here.
Leahy? Beezer?
Here.
Thompson?
Here. Yes, here. Item 4 is adoption of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Second. Roll call, please.
Fred Conley?
Aye.
Beezer?
Yeah.
Thompson?
Yes.
Yes, I have here an affidavit of proof of publication of tonight's meeting agenda, and that will become part of our permanent records. Now moving on to presentations on Papillion Creek watershed reservoirs. First of all is John Engel with HDR on dam sites 12, 19, and WP4. John, welcome.
John Engel with HDR. I'm actually going to walk through the dam site 12 and dam site 19, and then our partner, JEO, John Peterson, is going to walk through the WP4 project. Let me see if I've got a... Yeah. Do you all have the handouts in front of you? Okay. This project, we coordinated closely with the City of Omaha and Douglas County as part of this project, and we're part of the internal coordination team. This is just an overview of the basin. It's about 2.6 square miles. It extends from State Street down to the dam site, roughly between 204th and the Elkhorn River's bluff here. This is the Elkhorn Maple Street to orientate you. North is to the top. It's a normal pool reservoir with about 40 acres of open water, and the flood storage is about 850 acre feet. Give you an idea of the kind of the layout and walk through some of the main features. We'll walk, start at the dam and walk counterclockwise. This is north. Arrow is up here. You're kind of looking to the northwest. We start at the main dam. You'll notice 216th Street, the existing alignment, cuts through the proposed structure, and I'll talk a little bit more about that realignment. We've got the main dam, the normal pool. This is a south access road at the quarter-mile line off 216th Street to a recreational facility. They'll have a boat ramp, a picnic shelter, and a vault restroom. We've got a water quality basin embankment that utilizes the existing 216th Street roadway right here. We have another access area here that'll have a kayak launch, a path down to a kayak launch that's an extension of Fort Street. And then finally, there's a water quality basin that's included here with the new crossing culvert under the realigned 216th Street. The last water quality basin is an earthen embankment, and it comes across this tributary that comes off of just east of Mount Michael. This is Mount Michael Road here. There's a trail that's 1.7 miles long that loops around the entire facility. Those are the main features of the structure. A little bit on utilities and some other items. The only existing utility out here is on the extension of Fort Street, and you'll see it in your flat map. There's an overhead power line, and there are four poles that are impacted by the pool. They're OPPD power poles that will need to be raised and placed on pedestals. It can remain on its same alignment. The other utilities were future utilities. There's a planned sewer interceptor along the 216th Street alignment. So in addition to coordinating with the city's park staff, we coordinated with their sewer maintenance, looked at a couple of different alignments, both along the realigned 216th Street, as well as one that would just stay outside of the pool and meet dam safety requirements. We also looked at a collector to service this area from the bluff line east that will wind around the auxiliary spillway located over here. The other future utility we found out about this week, got a call from MUD and that they're planning gas service to Mount Michael. We have a meeting this week scheduled with them. They are coming along the existing Fort Street and coming up to Mount Michael Road and into the Mount Michael property. So we'll be coordinating with them to make sure that they facilitate the future reservoir and 216th Street alignment. The transportation is probably the other primary item. As I said, the existing 216th Street cuts through the existing embankment. And we looked at a variety of alternatives, keeping it on the same alignment, swinging it around in various configurations, and this is the one that minimized the acquisition and met the ultimate four-lane divided design criteria of 216th Street that goes around there. I think I've covered all these primary items. The road to Mount Michael is not impacted at all. One thing I forgot to mention is with that realignment of 216th Street, you'll see there is, in order to keep a perpendicular alignment of 4th Street at the intersection of 216th, there's a small realignment of 4th Street that's included. On the back side of the figure you have is the land acquisition tract map. There are 10 tracts totaling, that number is small, 232 acres, I believe, of permanent acquisition, and about 3 acres of easements, primarily with the associated with the construction of the 216th Street realignment. There is one rural acreage with a residence in the acquisition area, and it's located right here. And then finally, the opinion of construction costs. You can see the main dam construction and the water quality basins. The cost of the 216th Street realignment, that includes the ultimate grading for the four-lane divided, which is planned there, but paving only 3 lanes. And we didn't get into the details, but in the past, there's been cost share agreements for building that ultimate section at the time to fund portion of that, where the ultimate section is graded and the NRD is reimbursed. You can see the recreational features. The recreational features, in addition to the kayak and the boat ramp, there's some in-reservoir features that were laid out and included in the 60% design. We coordinated with Game and Parks fishery staff on that. Wetland mitigation on-site, seeding and fencing, and then some of the construction testing mobilization. Total estimated construction cost is just under $10 million. The OPBD mitigation for those raising those four poles along their alignment, they didn't do a detailed estimate. They gave us a ballpark, and that was $1.5 million. And then the land and property acquisition for that 230 acres was $11.75 million, for a total cost of $23 million. I think that's all the information I had on this site. I would entertain any questions.
Why don't we go through all three sites, and
okay,
then we'll take of your group, and then we'll take questions on them.
Okay. The next site is Dam Site 19. This is a site that's located northeast of Gretna. And similarly to 12, we had some internal team partners. The city of Gretna and Sarpy County participated in internal coordination meetings. This is kind of a location map. This north is up. This is 204th Street or Highway 631, right where it bends to curve into Gretna. This is 192nd Street, and this is Giles Road to the north of the site and Cornhusker Road to the south. It's a drainage area of about 4.3 square miles that comes from west of 204th Street and drains east, and a portion is north of Giles Road. It's a normal pool of about 75 acres of open water and flood storage of about 1,600 acre feet that it provides downstream flood protection. Kind of walk through this in a similar fashion to orientate you. This is also looking to the northwest. 192nd Street is down here at the bottom. Giles Road is off to the right. And then 204th Highway 631 is up here at the top. We've got the main dam across the channel here, a principal spillway in the left abutment, an earthen spillway over in the right abutment. We have a recreation and a kayak launch area here off of Giles Road. This is actually an extension of 194th, and then the park access would actually start right here. And we did that in coordination with the city and county for this parcel here that we're not acquiring, so they could be a usable parcel and they would be provided access that meets their development criteria. There's a recreational trail all the way around the facility. It's 2.5 square miles, I believe. We've got an existing culvert here under Giles Road that we're going to put a water quality weir in front of. We also are going to be extending this culvert to allow our trail to pass over top of it, so we'll be modifying it on the upstream and the downstream. Giles is graded to the ultimate profile right now. We've got another water quality basin up here just to the west of 204th Street. It's an earthen embankment. It controls, I believe, about 40 or 50% of the drainage we'd be able to treat with that basin. There is, I'll get to that in utilities. Over here is the primary access area. The city has talked about in the future developing a city park along here, which will be compatible in this area. We've got an access road that comes off 192nd Street, comes around the embankment, a boat ramp facility, parking, a boat restroom and picnic areas. You can see some of the water are in-reservoir fishery enhancements that the Game and Parks had also laid out. The utilities in this area, there's one existing utility that has potential impacts, and it's right here, and it is for SID 34, and that's their well house for their water supply. We looked at it and evaluated the pools, and it is not impacted and meets 10 state standards for a water well. Their access road, however, will need to be raised a couple feet. They need to be provided 100-year access, so that's part of the project. Mitigation would be raising their access road to that site. Other future utilities, there's a trunk sewer from this upper basin that will come around the edge of this water quality basin and then come in parallel to the pool, ultimately coming right over here by this box culvert and around the dam. So we'll work closely with the city and the county on that in providing the design criteria for them and developing a preliminary alignment for that. That'll also pick up a cross connection for the Remington Ridge development. Will also tie into that primary trunk. As far as roads, there's no impact to the Giles Road drainage culverts other than the improvements we're going to make for water quality features as well as an extension to facilitate the trail. We'll have an access off Giles Road here and an access off 192nd. We did evaluate Highway 631. There's two primary drainage structures here, and we evaluated both of those to ensure that we weren't negatively impacting the hydraulics and causing a flood issue. I think we've covered all of these elements. Acquisition, there's 12 parcels identified altogether. That one may be too small for me to read. Is that 291?
281.
281. 281 acres of acquisition, and then 1.3 acres of easements. There are two rural acreages that would be impacted in this project. One is located here within the pool area, and the other one is located over here by the dam embankment that are included in the acquisition. There's also a stable, a business structure here, Red Star Stables, I believe, that would also require acquisition as part of the project. Estimated construction costs. The main dam, about $4.5 million. The water quality basins that we showed, about $840,000. The recreation features, around $2.6 million. And those include the access roads and the trails and the facilities, as well as the reservoir enhancements. The seeding and on-site wetland mitigation, about $550,000. The mobilization survey and testing, about $1.2. So very similar construction cost to dam site 12, at about just under $10 million. The land and property acquisition is $16.5 million for a total cost of $26.2
million. John, do you want to walk through before?
Good evening, John. Would you introduce yourself for the record, please?
I'm John Peterson with JEO Consulting.
Thank you.
That's goofy. So WP4 is another within the city of Gretna area. So City of Gretna and Sarpy County were our stakeholders. This site, it's near 204th and Schramm Road. So this right here is 204th Street, and then this would be Schramm Road, and then that's Highway 31 right up there. We have a drainage area of right at about 1 square mile, and our normal pool would be about 15 acres. So just like the other dams, we've got kind of our main facilities here. We've got a trail loop that goes around the entire perimeter of the site. We have the main dam right here, one recreation access area. It's got a kayak launch to it, picnic shelter, latrine, kind of the standard features for a smaller site. We kind of laid in the Game and Parks recommended fishery enhancements there. And then we have two water quality basins. The good thing about this site is the watershed's mostly developed already, so we're not expecting a lot of sediment load or anything like that. But we did put a water quality basin in here, and then another small one right down on this side. A few of the other features or abnormalities we had to deal with on this project are the first one, there's a sanitary sewer lift station. It's right here, which would be about right there on the map. But it would have been right outside of our normal pool, and so we looked at options to floodproof or relocate that. Turned out our best option for now and in the future to account for future development is to relocate it up here off to the north end of our project site. The other item we looked at was Schramm Road. The city and county have the ultimate plan of connecting Schramm Road. Right now it's just field through here, but they want to connect it from I think it's the Covington subdivision over to where it ends right there on 204th Street. So we looked at various alignments for that. make sure all the horizontal and vertical curves were appropriate and matched up with our site and allow for development in the future as well. So our project will construct the embankment as it crosses our pool, and that will help us make that water quality basin. And then in the interim, before this whole SRAM road gets developed, we'll make this first piece a gravel access road to our rec site. And then the third item that we worked on in the preliminary design phase was coordinating with some adjacent development. There is a plan for a subdivision right here, right south of our property. So we work pretty closely with the developer and their engineer, trading engineering plans back and forth to make sure all our projects worked in coordination with each other. We wouldn't run into any future land issues or anything like that. So land acquisition, really we had two main property owners and then a few smaller parcels, I think five parcels in all, but we're looking at just under 82 acres of property acquisition that we would need for the project. So then cost here, much smaller site than the first two you saw, but for the dam structure itself, we're looking at about $1.8 million. Trails and rec, about $1.5 million. And then lift station, $700,000. SRAM road, the grading and the culvert, and the interim gravel access, about $700,000. And then the land rights, we were looking at just over $4 million. So all in, we're looking at about $11.5 million for the total project cost. So then, I think I touched on all these points earlier. Thank you. Are you completed, John? Yep.
Thank you. At this point, I'm going to open up for public discussion on item 6A, which are the three sites that we have just heard presentations on. And I ask you to only limit your comments to those three sites. And if please don't be repetitive. If your point has been made, don't make a sit and list of repetition of the same comments. With that, anyone wish to make a public comment, come up to the microphone, give us your name, tell us where you live, and which sites you're speaking about. I can't hear you. Oh, yeah. I'll let the record reflect to Director Leahy, who's been present for about 10 minutes now.
Good evening. Martin Pelster with Crawford Huck Law Firm. I represent McCune Development, who's the developer of property just south of WP4, dam site at 104th or 204th and SRAM. Our client has owned this property for roughly 10 years. And we've been anxiously awaiting the construction of the dam to complement our proposed development. I put in front of you a drawing of the development. It shows the development itself, the proposed lots, the surrounding areas, the downstream subdivisions that are affected by the runoff in this area. Our client, at some point in time, you know, we've been waiting for the dam site to be constructed, but at some point we had to move. The land's very expensive, and we needed to get our development going. So about a year or so ago, I think a little more than a year ago, we started contacting John Winkler and the NRD about trying to accelerate construction of the dam to help complement our development and to help alleviate any issues with downstream flooding. And we're very cognizant of the fact that there's sensitive issues with respect to people downstream. We're being very careful not to contribute to that. We're controlling our runoff, and we've been working very carefully and closely with the NRD, with the engineers, to make sure that we accommodate all those issues and make sure that we don't contribute to runoff in this area. But it's not, like I said, at some point in time, our client said we got to move, and we can't wait. So that's what we've been doing. We've been working closely with the NRD to make sure that we get our lines to the top of dam. That leaves we're developing basically 75 acres into roughly 180 lots. That leaves about 20 acres of land to be taken for the dam site. Our client has made a huge commitment and has taken kind of a leap of faith, I guess, to a certain extent, to move on forward with this development. And we hope that the NRD recognizes that commitment and reciprocates by moving forward with the dam site. We believe, you know, the dam site is necessary. It's going to be good for the area. When we started this project, one of the first things we did was we met with the local residents, particularly the people downstream, talked about their concerns, had a large meeting with people and heard all their concerns. We addressed all their concerns. We talked. We had NRD representatives there to make sure that their concerns were heard and addressed. We have done all we can, I guess, to make sure that those concerns are addressed and we do not contribute to the downstream flooding. I think these flooding issues are real in that area. They've had issues in the past. I think this dam site is needed at this point in time to address those issues. But we're moving forward with our development, and you know, we would like to see the NRD move forward with this dam site. We feel that it's very important to the area, that it is needed, and it certainly is going to go a long way to addressing the downstream flooding for the residents in that area.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to make a comment on any of these three sites? Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Sylvia Davis. I live at 20228 Vanley Drive, Lot 15 in Gretna, Nebraska. My house was on one of the photos there. We do live along the drainage ditch. And this, I just wanted to show, is just a third of what I have in my home since 2004. My husband Robert and I built our home in 2002. Very attracted to the beautiful area. My children love the nature and seeing the wild animals and such. However, as the city of Gretna allowed more development to the west of us, there has been an increased flow of water, which I know you're all aware of. My husband, Robert, was president of the Forest Run Homeowners Association, and he did work with NRD and the city of Gretna and Sarpy County to get the drainage ditch cleared and cleaned in 2007. And that was wonderful for a couple of years. However, there has been more development to the west. The waters have increased. My neighbors and I have been hoping and praying and waiting a long time for this dam site. And we sincerely hope that you take our pleas into consideration and please put a date on the calendar for construction to begin. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Anyone else want to speak tonight? Give us your name and location, what site you're talking about.
Yeah, WP4, John Gross, 20324 Van Lea Drive, and we were the second house in from the 204 Street. Of course, I'm not going to repeat everything Sylvia does. We are in favor of the dam. One thing also I'm concerned about is the groundwater levels. When the dam is built, there needs to be any observation wells or piezometers put in. Our backyard is open, and we can definitely accommodate that, too.
Well, thank you. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. My name is Mark Nelson, and I'm representing SID 34, and we're really excited about dam site 19. It's very, I think it's going to be great. But just had a few questions for consideration and design. One is, since we have that well house there, we have our water supply. The first question is, has the capping of abandoned wells or search for abandoned wells been done such that there wouldn't be any contamination of our water supply? There may be wells in that area. That area goes back quite a number of years. There's even a rare old railroad line with a bridge that dates to 1916. So there's quite a history there, and I've got a concern about the potential for the contamination of our well through existing abandoned wells or other wells that penetrate the same aquifer. The second question is a minor thing, but will a wind wave run up and set up be done on full flood pool before determining the relative safety of the well house there? It won't be a lot. Run up and set up are not going to be much, but if it happened, we certainly would not want our water supply compromised.
I'm going to ask John Engel in a minute to answer these.
Okay. The third one isn't so much an engineering question, but a recreation one. As a flood pool and acquisition of land will be pushing over towards Lindale Drive on the south, is there a potential for at least an improved social trail to connect Lindale to the recreational trails of the project?
Okay. John Engel, could you address those, please?
Yeah, I think so. The questions. I believe the first one was regarding the abandonment of wells, and we would certainly do that during final design, identify those. The parcels that would be acquired, the acreages, if they're on private wells, the specs would call out proper abandonment of those. We would also search the database of the registered wells from DEQ in the state of Nebraska. The second part is we evaluated the lift station according to the 10 state standards, which does not have a wave run-up. We can certainly look at that in that area and see what the probability of that would be coincident, as well as the duration at the 100 years is relatively short, but that could certainly be looked at. I believe the 10 state standards is a foot of freeboard above the 100-year. And the infrastructure of the well house meets that. The third item was on recreation. Yeah, we talked about that with the city and with the county, and really we were focused primarily on what would be done as part of this project, but it was done in a way that certainly there are connections. I had referenced to the south of here. The city had expressed maybe an open fields, a larger facility there, that would all be compatible with what we've developed.
Okay, does that answer your questions for now, sir?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments on any of these three sites?
Yes. Al Marion. I live at 20112 Van Lee Drive. I'll try to be very brief. I'm speaking in support of the WP4 project. I am one of those homeowners who lives downstream from drainage. I just want to point out, and this may be known to everyone, that our drainage ditch is normally about 2 feet across, and with the rains, which have not been particularly heavy in the last couple of years, it gets 20 to 30 feet across. So it's a size of a flooding problem. We do have concerns, as mentioned, that with the development, that we're turning a cornfield into a development, cornfields absorb water, concrete does not. So that we're going to get even worse if we don't pursue this project. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Well, thank you for the presentations on these three sites. Those of you who are not interested in the other sites, you're welcome to leave. You won't disrupt us, but we're going to go ahead and talk about the other three sites then. So thank you for being here.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
If we have any questions, should we reserve them?
Reserve to the end.
Okay.
Reserve to the end.
Okay.
And now we have a vacant view.
Okay.
The guy just left.
Okay.
You want to catch him?
You want to catch him?
Okay.
All
right. We thought we'd do it later, but
if anybody's got a, if anybody's here, is John leaving?
We'll take director questions. I'm going to get through all three sites. Mike, are you ready to go?
I am absolutely ready.
Okay, introduce yourself and let's.
Mike Plackey with Olson Associates. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time to present our design on DS7 and WP1. Let's see if I can figure out how to run your remote here. Okay, dam site 7, I believe it looks like Amanda and Marlon are handing out this map right now. Dam Site 7 is located basically southwest of 168th and Bennington, Bennington Road. Let's see here. Okay. While you're doing that, I'll see if I can.
So,
Site 7. There we go.
Okay, we're going to start with Dam Site 7 then, Mike?
Yeah, correct.
Okay.
I said Dam Site 7 is located near Bennington on 168th, basically southwest of 168th and Bennington Road. We're really lucky with this site. We have good abutments on both the east and west to tie into. It's a really good site for a dam. It has a drainage area of about 2.26 square miles and will have a permanent pool of 43 acres. We do have on the east side, there is an existing sanitary sewer line that was placed, and it was, looked like it was designed with the dam in mind. It is just outside of the permanent pool and barely outside of the abutment on the east side. However, it does not meet dam safety requirements. It's just a little bit close. What we'll have to do is it's going to require us to install a sand drain just on the downside of that existing sanitary sewer line and drain it into the creek. We have a trail that runs along the perimeter of the lake on both sides. The plans are that in the future, Military Road, which is right here, will become a trail in the future. So what we're going to do is tie into Military Road. And at the same time, Rainwood Road will become a, construct Rainwood Road. And I'll get into, it's going to require a 200-foot wide bridge right here. I'll get into that as well. On the west side, we have a 200-foot wide auxiliary spillway. Works out really, really well for us. Ties in nicely to the hill. This is our access point off of 168th Street right here. This will be we worked with county and city on this. It's a quarter mile point access to the lake. There's maintenance road goes that way and parking lot right in this area. There is some existing buildings right here. As far as land acquisition, this line right here, we assume that that's going to be a total taking because it's kind of an L-shaped property, and we don't want to leave them with a remnant. So when we get into that, so like I said, when Military Road becomes a trail, we'll. Rainwood Road will be constructed at some point. Obviously, we don't know the timing on any of this, but we have been working with the county and city on this. Rainwood Road is designed to the ultimate profile. We'll have the trail running underneath the bridge, and it really works out really good for us to do the embankment for the road at this time. The soils on here are due to settlement. We can install the embankment, not the bridge itself, but the embankment. We can excavate out for our water quality basin, which is just upstream of Rainwood Road. So use that excess soil for the roadway. It'll also allow that soils to settle over time because there is a settlement issue in this dam. Basically, all your dams in this area are probably staged construction, really, and this dam is no exception. It'll be staged construction. We'll have to let it settle and then come back in and reconstruct it. Same with the bridge here. So it really works out to benefit for both parties. Land acquisition, as we said, Dam Site 7 will need a total of 181 acres. This includes access to the site, which is right here off 168th Street. I said due to the shape of the property of the Sabus property, that's probably a total taking, and unfortunately we can't put the access right there, which We did try, but they wouldn't allow us because it's not on a quarter point. We've also been approached by a landowner who's looking at developing property in this area too. And when the time comes, there may be some grading, some swapping of ground, whatever it may be, with that when and if the NRD goes that route. Construction costs we have estimated at $8.5 million. This includes mobilization, construction staking, the embankment itself, the upstream water quality basin, and land acquisition we have at $9.1 million. So that total is, what is that, 17.6, if I did my math correctly. And just a summary of it, drainage area of 2.26 square miles, permanent pool of almost 43 acres, existing about 14,000 linear foot of trails, modifications to the sewer, Rainwood Road, Military Road, and 181 acres.
Why don't we let you go right ahead with WP1, and then we'll let anyone make comments after you've been through both of them, Mike.
Okay. We'll bring up that, and you should have a handout on WP1. WP1 is located on the, basically southwest of the intersection of 180th and Fort. So let's see, we got Fort Street right here and 180th. The embankment is right in this area here. As you can see right there, we do have development, at least platting going on in the area as we speak. It's got a drainage area of 1.5 square miles and a permanent pool of approximately 20 acres. And as I said, access right there. The auxiliary spillway is on the east side. Utility impacts. One of the things that we had to work with on this one, luckily we were contacted by the engineer for, I believe this is Celebrity Homes right here. There is a sewer line that runs right there. You can see the... you can see the easement right there. We were contacted early enough that we were able to work with them on the placement of it and the placement of the dam itself. No modifications are required in this. Actually, in the area of the embankment itself, they'll be doing directional. Well, you can see it right here. They'll be doing directional boring. This is our telephone, or I'm sorry, power lines right there. And this is some of the... some of the excavation for the sewer line right there. We just took this picture, I think, last week. They're out there actively working on it. Excuse me. This power line, though, is right in the way of our embankment and our pool. The span is too great to span the lake itself, so working with OPPD, the best option that we came up with was to relocate that power line along the south side of the embankment. Land acquisition. We have approximately 106 acres. This includes access to the site, the downstream area for needed to. For the auxiliary spillway to flow back into the channel, should it ever function, I believe that some of this property has been purchased by the NRD already, and is it on the agenda tonight for a little bit more of the for this property right up in this area? Is that what the agenda item is? Or public hearing for that property right there. I guess the other thing to note when it comes to the opinion of cost is $6.9 million for construction and $5.3 million for land acquisition. But I believe your staff has been working with the NRCS and has received funding for this. And I think there's an agenda item for that later tonight that Amanda was able to secure some funding for this to go forward. So in summary, the drainage area, 1.35 square miles with a permanent pool of just over 20 acres. It has all the rec features, the trails, parking, latrine, and the RCPP funding. With that, that's the summary of my presentation tonight.
Thank you, Mike. I'm going to open it up for questions from the public now or comments from the public, whatever. Anyone wish to speak? Last chance. We'll open up for directors after we have the next consultant presentation, and then we'll go ahead with WP2 with Fire Engineering. Mike Sotak, please. Yourself for the record and go right ahead, please.
You bet. Good evening, everybody. Mike Sotak with Fire Engineering. You can see our project partners on the cover slide here, and Sarah Mechtenberg from Fire is here with me, who did a lion's share of the design work on this, and Tom Bentley from Vireo is also here tonight in case there's any questions on that. So I'm going to jump into the special conditions. This is the smallest side of the six, and a little bit interesting that it might be small, but it has a kind of a mighty roar here. These are some of the different things that we worked with here, and I'm going to start kind of up in the upper right there. The proposed embankment, so this was an original grade control structure implemented as part of the Papillion Creek Watershed Partnership Plan, and so orienting yourself, this is 180th Street to the left running north and south. Giles runs east-west just off the top side of the image there. If you've ever golfed Tiburon Golf Course and stood on 12 tee box and looked to north, you can see the pond and the embankment back there, and that's what you're looking at there. So the existing dam presented a couple different challenges there with regards to alignment, and I'll come back to that a little bit there. I'm going to move kind of counterclockwise here, or clockwise, sorry. We've got an existing, in blue shown there, is an existing sanitary sewer that drained some of the original Palisades West golf course here, and then also came from the south there to drain Tiburon. So right at the beginning of this project, a new Gretna sewer, I believe it's called the Tiburon sewer, is what you call it, Steve? So the Tiburon sewer was already under designed by Olmsted and Perry, and this is Steve Perry from Olmsted and Perry. So we did a lot of coordination with Steve there during the development of this. And so we looked at a lot of different routes around the pool. It initially went to the north up there around the old conceptual layout of the auxiliary spillway. After looking at some grades and cost and some cuts through this hill, the sewer is very challenged in getting around this new dam. From a grade standpoint, there's a lot of deep cuts, expensive cuts, and so we finally found a balance with Steve, and Steve has designed this red dash line that comes around the dam counterclockwise there. There's a water quality basin right here that will also provide cover for a sewer that will come to accommodate some anticipated development to the north and the west of the site there. What else we had, what you see in green here is a light green is an easement, the dark green is a existing gas line. It's not just any normal gas line, it's an 18-inch high-pressure line, runs about 800 PSI and serves about a third of Omaha, from what we told. So there's a lot of constraints that go along with that. There was also a lot of, so that really dictated, as you can see, kind of the right portion of the dam here. We basically have the toe of the dam pushed up against that gas line. Because we're kind of constrained for sites here, so this Palisades West development is platted. And in fact, they had worked with Amanda early on based upon some preliminary elevation information to grade their, to be very accommodating, grade their development basically so that the top of dam elevation stayed out of their lots. They also developed a couple storm sewer outlots there that the top of dam elevation could get into. And so provided a real, in my opinion, a good win-win from a developer and public-private partnership there. So we were constrained on the top of dam elevation, so we really wanted to push this dam as far downstream as possible. We even looked at moving the dam all the way down to Giles Road there, but we really just couldn't do it without relocating that gas main, which turned out to be a $4 million cost is what Northern Natural Gas was estimating. So instead, what we ended up doing is shoehorning the dam in the best we could within this existing infrastructure here. We got a special permission from the state to run the new sewer underneath the right abutment of the dam. We have to, in order to do that, we had to put this sewer in a carrier pipe that's basically designed to the same qualifications as a principal spillway pipe in a dam, and also build an internal drainage system within that as well. So that added some costs that you've heard in recent meetings lately with the cost share that you've agreed to with the city of Gretna, and Steve has worked on that design with us. That project has been let. They had a kickoff meeting about 2 weeks ago. They're off and running. My understanding is they won't do construction in this area for about another 8 weeks due to the delivery and the lead time on that special principal spillway pipe. Does that sound about right, Steve? Okay. Man, a few words, this guy. So, with that, we've also got, so obviously we couldn't put the auxiliary spillway on the other side because of all the utilities, so it had to go over here. We've got this existing tree grove that sits there in the middle of a nice CRP ground there. And so that takes a lot of the usable dirt away from the emergency spillway. So we've got some waste that has to happen with this dam as regards to what happens is you excavate those trees, you push them over, and you get about anywhere from 5 to 8 feet of kind of unusable organic material that's really dried out from the root structures of the trees and everything. So we do have a little bit of wasting of some of that has to go on as well. So with that, I think we'll move to the next slide. The other special condition on site that I noticed that the other consultants were lucky enough not to have to talk about geotech too much. What I've got here is you've seen all the boreholes. We ended up going out and doing a bunch of extra borings on this. And the reason is that downstream of this existing structure here, everywhere we drill, we hit sand. And so all of these borings on the left side of this here are depth to sand. That information there is a depth to sand. So if you look at all the Papillion Creek watershed sites that have been designed by the Corps of Engineers and other consultants, you usually see little pockets, little seams of sand, and one particular little squishy layer, which is why you always hear about stage construction, et cetera, on these sites. We've never seen this. This doesn't exist anywhere in the watershed as far as we know. Two of the most senior geotechnical engineers from EA, Keith Grotrian, who's designed a lot of the NRCS sites in the last 30 years, and Steve Nichols, who's designed more sites than anybody in the state of Nebraska, never seen this on a dam site in Nebraska, this much sand. It's everywhere. And so what that does is it creates a problem with dams in terms of under seepage and pressure. And not only does it create that, but because we're limited on real estate, we don't have the ability to build what we would normally do is build these nice long berms to kind of dissipate that energy. So instead, we've got kind of a unique and kind of an advanced internal drainage system to carry that because we have to get that drainage down. So we kind of got some belt suspenders because on the downstream side of the dam is an 800 PSI gas main that feeds a third of West Omaha. So we've got a pretty significant investment in the internal drainage system of the structure caused by the unique geology that we found at the site. So if we look at the site plan here, looking all around here, we've got the dam structure and the auxiliary spillway and the brownish areas there. We've got a pretty simple little day's recreation area on the north side here. And we also looked at the feasibility one on the south side. Right now, parking lot, picnic areas, et cetera, kind of the water quality basin provides kind of a nice passive area and a break between some trails and everything working around the water quality basin, and then a little bit more active area there. One of the things to point out is we've also worked with Nebraska Game and Parks Commission on fisheries like the other teams did. And one of the things they're concerned with this site is that we've got a 700-acre drainage system or drainage area and an 18-acre lake, so we've got about that same what we call sustainability ratio. The pool is as big for the site as the rest of the sites in order to provide the water quality and make sure we got enough water, et cetera. The problem is, as you can imagine, as you can see the old reservoir right there, the one you can see from Tiburon, the problem is that that's taken up all the – it's silted in already. almost 100%. It's taken up all the depth. So one of the problems is when we get the volume we need for the dam, we lack some of the depth in this reservoir that we do in some of the other ones because we're not on virgin ground. We're dealing with, building on top of a lake that's already silted in. So we've lost a lot of that depth diversity, which has some concerns for the Game and Parks Commission in terms of a future fishery. They've suggested doing some excavation. That excavation isn't free, and quite honestly, we don't need all the dirt for the site. So we're trying to – that's one of the things I think we'll be kind of carrying on is figuring out, does it really make sense to invest a lot of money in the fishery here, given the costs, or is that money better spent somewhere else? So that's one of the things that will kind of continue here. Other than that, the recreation plans for the site, they've got a loop trail around the site and a kayak launch down there as well. Okay, land rights here. So here's some good news for you. We've only got $3.5 million. Total land rights on the site is about 70 acres here. At the site here, you can kind of see where these are. Some of the property was purchased ahead of time already, owned by the Papio, by your NRD there. You know what? One thing I forgot here to talk about site access real quick. So one of the things that we looked at was Giles up here and then 180th to, on the west side here is we looked at access from Giles to come in from the north between the emergency spillway and the wreck area, and then we looked at what it could be if we came in right down here. So this is the half-mile line right here, which on the major arterials, the counties, and they try to get you to plan for the quarter-mile or half-mile points from the other arterials to do that. So the half mile didn't work because we've got a transmission line that runs right along the north edge of Tiburon Golf Course right there. So where we did work out the option for this kind of cuts between a couple of farmsteads. And so whether or not that's the perfect answer right now, two things have to be answered is, number one, what's the development going to look like up in the northwest corner of this section? There's already talks going on with the landowner there about development. And number two, the other thing is that we've got a very significant grade going up and down 180th Street. So our sub-consultants here anticipated that there's probably going to be a pretty significant cut in that road once they eventually design the arterial. But Sarpy County hasn't got that far yet as far as designing that. And so we think that there's an opportunity that may affect this whole area as far as the farmstead. So what we did, we said, okay, if we're building the site today and we're ignoring everything else, this is the plan for now. But I think the development coordination, et cetera, is going to be happening in the near future, especially with the sewer that's being built. And for that reason, I think that's probably something that's probably a little subject to change once we got a little better information about the grade on 180th Street. So again, there's the five parcels total affected here for a total of 70.1 acres. And then here's the cost. So the construction total there, as you can see, about $4.5 million, including the dam, the water quality basin, the access, and the recreation and the fisheries there. That sanitary line relocation that's the $370,000 of the cost share that the entity is participating with the city of Gretna with. And so you add in the land rights there, and you got a project total of about $8 million. The construction totals do also include about 20% in contingencies from where they're at today. And so with that, we're happy to take any questions from the public or anybody else.
Okay, thank you, Mike. I'm going to open it up to the public first now. Anyone wish to speak on this project? Last chance. Okay, I'm going to open up for directors. Do you have questions?
Any of the six other
Mike, what was the maximum depth
of this one? From the existing permanent pool here, was there at 8 maximum depth between the existing pool and the plan pool? The 18?
Yeah.
I think that's good.
No.
It broke up.
Cut it off, Mike.
No,
I think this is off.
Evidently, you're not an electrical
engineer.
What's that? You're not an electrical engineer.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, it's good timing.
Sounds like a bigger counter.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
start pulling.
I've got the volume all the way down.
I'll just turn it off. We can take and
old fashioned. The good news is tonight I saw my first high school baseball game at plus 42 degrees.
Right.
Let's go here.
Well, anyway, Mike, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
I can't hear you,
Rich.
You need the cone of silence. What? Do we have a technician here?
I don't know, you just can't turn it off. Maybe it's not that easy.
You have a field day outside.
All right. It's power to the speaker.
Can you kill the power to everything?
Do we have a breaker?
Actually, no. Speakers always have power. Very physical.
Good idea.
You want IT?
Okay.
You want audio visual
consulting role?
Well, anyway, Mike, it doesn't make a lot of sense to put a lot in fisheries when you're talking about 8-foot of water.
Well,
in my opinion.
Yes, sir. Excuse me. We discussed that and talked tomorrow to Amanda about that. And, you know, I think that's one of the things that plays itself out is, you know, one of the questions will be is how much money the Game and Parks Commission can bring to the table from the normal fund that they kind of tap the project. So I think. Kind of wait for them to work on that and see what their commitment is, and then we'll make a decision based on their commitment. But obviously, there's other places that to spend money. If that pool is limited, then that's fine.
Okay, question on this, Mike. If there's so many uncertainties about what might happen along the west side of it, I guess it is 180th, are we going to have to redo this plan significantly before it goes to construction?
So the it's anticipating right now with the unknown schedule that probably that stuff is going to be decided before you're going to be ready to build this particular site. That would be my guess. I think that's kind of what we're right now.
Thank you.
Okay. We're probably 6 months away from going to allow for it.
Other directors have questions or comments on any of the three sites we've heard about. Director Thompson.
Mike, you mentioned the dam. Is it earthen dam?
Yes, sir.
So when you say butts up against the, doesn't right butt up against exactly that.
So we make look against the gas easement?
Yeah.
So basically what we did is we took the edge of the easement. So they got a 100-foot easement there, 50-foot both sides of the line. We basically started at the edge of it, left a little room for a toe swell, and then said that's the furthest it's going to be right up.
So that allows for some protection at 50 feet?
Yes.
Yeah.
Other questions or comments?
The very first one, WP4, you mentioned where they are, the amount of cooperation between Hune Development and our own engineers for this one, HDR. Can you expand on that just a little bit? Anybody here for that?
Go ahead, John.
There's a large development going in just south of this, correct?
Right.
Right. So, we work closely with the state of Gretna. And they made us aware that people were going to submit the plat, a preliminary plat for that development. So we did have several meetings to make sure that they were not doing this one. So also to work with them to try to minimize any impact from that development for them.
So they would literally alter their plans to help accommodate this dam and vice versa? Or? Okay.
Other questions or comments? Director Thompson.
On WP4, the development, Lakeview development down the south, if I recall going down Schramm Road, but 204th, it's elevated. It's like a high bank on, if you're going south on the right. What I didn't have a chance to ask is on that map that guy had, where is the water running off? Apparently it's running through, you know, to the east from that current cornfield. What kind of retention is he having in his development that may offset the amount of concrete and asphalt that's going to be there? Do you have any idea?
Yes, so we did work with them on their stormwater design as well. And today you have a stormwater basin located just at the northeast corner of that site before it goes to the forest and belt. And that will be quite and they will, their target is to retain more water than what.
So more than a half inch. And will that be enough? I mean, we saw the video of the run through force.
Force.
Okay. And I don't know what the rainfall was during that video, but. It wasn't much. So, 6-inch rainfall during the day, that could get pretty bad.
Yeah.
Which obviously justifies the reason for the dam. But then the doubling, I guess, the amount of runoff development from the south, the other development's already there. That's going down east too, isn't it?
Yeah.
You done, Jim?
Yeah.
Yeah. Director Leahy?
On WP4, maybe it was for the developer, but it seems like the one to the north of it's going to remain green parkland. And he didn't have that filled in.
Their intent is to develop whatever they can.
That one up there, you know, on this little thing, it's all green.
His house, it will. I mean, that's what at least they portrayed to us thus far.
Okay. I have a few questions. And then it was campsite 7, the trail. Connects to Military Road, which I heard is going to be a trail. Military Road's turning into a trail. Is that what?
The plan is that Military Road.
Interesting. When's that going to happen? Does anyone know?
The military would close then, or?
Yeah,
I see.
Do we need to connect that trail? Like, I just see it sort of runs into Military Trail, which makes sense, but if that doesn't happen for 20 years and we build this in, you know, a few years, should we connect it? Otherwise you get to the end, you're like, either I got to go on this road or, you know, you're like Forrest Gump, just got to turn around and go again. One more specific question. This one's for Mike, and then I have a general question for all three of you. But that 1.8 for the fisheries, was that assuming the plan to create some depth there, or was that this is for number two, WP2.
We did, Director Leahy. We assumed some investment there based on a very simple couple of thousands of expectation.
So that's with the cost in it, not it wouldn't be on top of that. Yeah. And then my general question for everyone is the land acquisition estimates. I have to assume those are based on roughly today's prices, even though we won't be building these dams except for over a matter of years.
I mean, is that for all three of them?
You done that, Lee?
Yeah, that was it.
I'd like to follow up. You talked about Rainwood Road, and before we get away from that on damp site.
Seven.
What will we be building, assuming we're ahead of Rainwood Road? Will we be actually putting the bridge in and any road improvements, or just providing space for them to come in and do it?
At this point, all we're planning on is the upgrade. We want to get that dirt, but I think they'll before we hold that water. Like I said, we don't know which is coming first, Rainwood Road or any other. Current plan is the first dirt.
Thank you. Did I see another hand?
Larry.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I was wondering about one of these proposed sites. I was waiting on some special pipe. And what type of pipe, and where was that coming from again?
So this is the pipe that we build the principal spillways out of. It's a refined cylinder pipe. So there's about 8 week leads.
So it was concrete.
It's concrete steel.
Okay. Thank you.
What else? Questions? Please. Now he's had a chance. Let's see, anybody else down here want to talk? You can be last.
Yeah, no worries. It's Damp Site 7 again. I must have missed the reuse historic structures. What historic structures are we going to keep?
There,
what are we going to do?
There are some, there's a historic barn. We did not do an actual site inspection of it, but so, depending on the timing and what we do, possibly use those.
Like a picnic shelter or that area that people could use. Yeah. That's it.
No, we have other items on the agenda, so if, we're going to see a lot of this over the next several years. So, appreciate your attention tonight. We need to take a break before we go into the rest of the agenda. I need a break. No? Okay. Moving right ahead then. Thank you all. Item 7 is review and recommendation on the Game and Parks operation agreement. Summit Lake, Jim Visick. Hold off just a minute, Jim. Let's let the room settle down here. There you go.
We have two recommendations to look at this first item. Both pertain to our Salt Lake State Recreation Area, which is located southwest of Cayman, Nebraska. We are on our 8th year of a 25-year lease agreement with the Nebraska Cayman Park. We reassess every 4 years the agreement. The first recommendation is to extend that annual payment of $40,000 a year to the Nebraska Game and Parks for the operation and management for 4 additional years. The second recommendation is to provide a 50-50 cost share. Our cost would be $50,000 cost share with the Nebraska Game and Parks for the construction of 13 additional electrical cup and camping tents. Also, I'd like to introduce the Parks Commission Administrator. Jim Switz, who has any comments or maybe a few words for the recommendation.
Good evening. Jim Switz, Parks Division Administrator, Game of Parks, out of the Lincoln office. Thanks for the opportunity to be here tonight and attend your meeting. I want to speak and just acknowledge the great partnership that we share up here at some of the Lake State Recreation Area. Recreation areas in Northeast Nebraska because it's one of the few recreation. Over the years, our partnership has been very strong, and that area has been able to evolve near recreation facility. The recent addition a couple years ago, like sites up there at the Prairie, the camp operation is bringing a lot more. Also, rated as one of the top bass fisheries in the Midwest, so it's got some great, great strong. Our success is tied to the partnership purpose. We appreciate that. And we look forward to that.
Thank you. Anyone? I'd like to get a motion on the floor for these. There's two items on this one memo. We'll take them as one if you'd like.
Move staff recommendation.
Second.
Okay. Anyone in the public wish to speak? Seeing none. Directors? Director Bradley?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm wondering, is Summit Lake and all the property there, is that pipeline that ruptured Magellan or anything, did that have any damage to that area?
Not to knock for it. It was some distance. It was in the median area.
Okay. And just a comment, I'm a little bit torn as a bass fisherman to allow more electrical hookups.
About if we put some more in.
Are you done, Larry?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Anybody else wish to speak?
How many are existing right now that are electrical, and how many more are we in total are we shooting for?
Well, we've got 30 right now that we've talked about. We're looking to have 13 more.
Okay.
That makes pretty good size.
Thanks.
Can the rest of the facilities on the site support increased load of the additional campers? I'm talking about your restroom facilities and so forth.
Yeah, we've added some restroom and shower facilities there, so we accommodate that need.
Thank you. Anybody else?
What are your fees for the camping versus the electrical?
$17 a night for an electrical site, $11 for a permanent site. Permanent site, you know.
How many year payback are you looking at?
Well, it depends on the visitation. Visitation has grown dramatically. Revenue at the park area has nearly doubled. So with an investment of that nature, we're probably looking at roughly the advantage with electrical development is it's lower.
Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, roll call on the motion, please.
Lenny?
Yes.
Caesar?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Frank
Thomas? Yes. I think we're concluded on this item. Thank you for being here. Now moving on to Danny Schaub's recreation area, Terry Schumacher.
As promised from last month, we have in front of you the first addendum to the interlocal agreement with the Nebraska King Park for the operation maintenance recreation area. The main crux of this addendum is it allows the district to ask to be reimbursed for payments towards infrastructure development that was included in the original master plan, such as the fish station, which is under construction as we speak. And really, it's pretty simple addendum. Lost that part. Calendar year payment to the game part is the offset.
I can move staff right.
Thank you. Is there a second to the motion?
Sure.
We have a second. Anyone in the public wish to speak? Seeing none, directors? Seeing none, roll call.
Caesar?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, thank you both. Now,
thanks, Jim.
I'd like to commend the professional president to talk with the first.
Thank you. I think we know that, but it's nice to hear it.
Now I got to send you that check. I thought you'd do it cash this time.
Thanks,
everybody.
Yeah. I lost my agenda here.
That's right.
Who are we on?
Eight.
Okay. The next item is review and recommendation on Amendment 3 to the professional service contract with FIRA for WP 6 and WP 7. Amanda, go right ahead, please.
Good evening. Mike Sotek, FIRA engineering. Is here for questions and
contours that we've been working for construction, W6 just doing reservoir. And we started working with fire engineering on the preliminary structure through that. And we're on now consideration. But it is actually the First Amendment. Then we did have a small amendment too. $8,000. We're on to Amendment 3, and what this phase of the contract is the construction of East Reservoir, all the coordination, and So in the next month and after 2 months, we'll be seeing a lot more activity and the
I'd like to get a motion on the floor first. Thank you, Fred. Is there a second?
Second.
I have a second. Anyone in the public wish to speak to this item? I think you've made a commitment. No more coming back on engineering fees on this. Is that what I heard?
This?
Yes.
The only time we came back for anything additional, cost you $38,000, got you about $3 million.
Okay, well, that's a good investment. I was kidding you, Mike. Any directors have any comments? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Johnson?
Yes.
Fred Conlon?
Aye.
Leahy?
Yes.
Caesar?
Yes.
Chairperson?
Yes, thank you. Did we miss somebody?
No.
Okay, thank you. Thanks on that. We'll move on to item number 9 is agreement with NRCS for Regional Conservation Partnership Program for the WP1 project. Go ahead, Amanda.
What was first? Yeah. So this is WP1. So this is one that we just recently talked about. And this is the project that it was in the location of a 4056 NRCS grade stabilization site. And so we were able to apply to this the Regional Conservation Partnership Program. We applied at the beginning of taking this stabilization site at the so for your consideration, is of a statement for basically the agreement that we have with NRCS and our NRCS to do this. But for what I'm and So we will allocate those funds because it's not and then the other thing is
Chair can entertain a motion on this item.
Move staff recommendation.
Second.
Motion to second. Any public discussion on it? Seeing none, roll call.
Go ahead,
directors.
Just a couple questions. When you mentioned NRCS's duties in the grant, I mean, what's their duties besides just giving us the money?
So actually, one of the main duties of NRCS is that we have to take this whole work. Through this preliminary work, we've done a lot of but they do a lot of things. And all of this, they have a lot of
we'll be pretty active with skin in the game. And then the other question was, so you went for 6.6 or 6.3 and got 4.4. Did they tell us why, you know, we didn't get that other sort of a third? Was there any particular reason? Last question. Do we have any other projects that we can go to NRCS for after this one's done? I mean, is this an ongoing source of grants, or was this just sort of we got lucky with this?
We don't have a whole lot of so this.
Any other questions or comments?
I have one. Director Jeff. Yeah, when does the construction have to begin? In other words, is the money allocated as the construction goes along? Or when does this when does it have to begin?
Yeah, well, it'll begin upon approval of the
they don't just cut you a check for $4 million, they just do it as. Thank you.
Amanda, in regards to the NRCS requirements, of the $4.4 million, how much of it's getting eaten up by additional requirements that they have for us?
It's about a
So it still makes it worthwhile by a long ways, but it's a lot of money.
We spend that.
Thank you. Did I see the other? Roll call on the motion, please.
Brett Conley?
Aye.
Clayton?
Yes.
Easter?
Yeah.
Thompson?
Yes.
And
Sherbert? Yes. Thank you. Now we're moving to item 10. That's Martin Cleveland on Pigeon Jones Site 15 Outlet Repair Project.
Thank you. Tony, joining me tonight is Mike Platique with Pulse. He's here, so I thought I'd use him. He's here already anyway. And Mike has helped me with this project, so he's the expert in it as well. With those dams, you know, sometimes you have to tear things. I can tell them to just sample that. So that first, the location map was built. I think you all noticed that, but based on the reminder. Hubbard is here. This city's over here, Dakota City. This is Hubbard, Tamper Lake. And this, as all dams do, they have an outlet channel, basically, so like high discharge is do. And so, location of it. And original channel is over here someplace, but they built the new dam, they built the new channel. Deeper than probably what was initially there. Let's go to the plan sheet first. Building. Let's move on past that one and go to the next sheet. So the dam is located here at the bottom of the page. And this is the outlet channel, which is actually a concrete pipe that discharges into the channel. There's a few weirs that go across the riprap. They're like little dams. The intention of those riprap weirs is to basically cut it back and channel's stable. What happens is these beers are porous, so let part go through them, cause erosion to happen to the channel. And of course, anytime you have a channel that's unstable, it's not a good thing, but it could lead to damage state issues at some point. So, trying to get at the forefront of this to get fixed before we have issues with the channel that's going to lead to damage state issues. So far, in our state of Nebraska, but let's go to the last sheet. I'm going to show you what we're going to do with this. Again, this large view of it. Let's go to the last sheet. We have in 2 years, we're going to install solar fabric, which is basically a kind of like coffee filter. It's the fine going through this rock, which is the support. The rock would be also crowded. Concrete and the points of the rock. That also makes it more of a solid tank, solid weir. The water will then start backing up, hits the weir, drops sediment out, and it can make that more stable. What's going on right now is basically the water is going right through the weir, back up, back. Also, the dam, a lot of times the water is fairly clear, it's all that sediment, so there's carved sediment. So it's basically filling sediment through out of the tank to the back here. So we think this will one way to solve the issue. We hope 100% fixed. We know we do things, but we definitely need to do something to treat, otherwise we have problems. So unfortunately we're here tonight. That's where this is done. Fifth round for bids. We're seeing two bids. Range from 37,301 to 30,436. Their low bidder was the Dustin Construction Company of Sorrel, Nebraska. Engineer's estimate was 26,925. So the engineer's estimate is a little bit lower than the bid, but we think probably due to the size of the project, there wasn't a lot of interest. We tried to show the interest, there just wasn't much interest in it. Contracts like bigger projects, like I think we've got to pay a premium because of small. So that's the price. Again, Mike can respond to any questions in his letter. I'll be happy to respond to any questions about the project. Our goal is
to move that recommendation.
Thank you, Fred. Is there a second, please?
Second.
I have a second. Anyone in the public wish to speak? Being none, directors?
Yeah, just a question to understand what's happening, but do we know why?
Yeah, I think that the, as Mark said, that the rock is too large size rock. Mark, it's also flanking around the outside.
For the too large of rock, I mean, is there, was there any kind of specifications in the original contract for the contractor to use a different size of rock and they didn't? Like, is there any recourse for us to go back to the contractor and say, hey, wait a second, you didn't build this the way it was meant to?
Yeah, I believe that it's called out I see riprap, but I believe that maybe it might have called out. About 5 years. We really feel like there's probably a it's hard to find. You got a real deep challenge. So, there's a little challenge. A lot of people. Offers a little bit. Just to find them. So, we're just going to tend to be great. At least we have. Here's the table. Also, here's the side of the soil is very poor quality. So, we had some problems with the grass.
Have you had any experience injecting and grouting like this so you can make sure you're getting the grout where you want it and not going away from the into the channel or downstream or something?
Yeah, we've built a couple of them. Actually, I just talked to the NRC, but I installed those for just some for probably 7 years they are all basically they pump it over scoops or shovels or brooms to push it in place.
How do you get a shovel into a rock dike?
You're just kind of spreading it around in the place.
Just letting it filter
it's
down.
It's a slurry mix. It's a very
like you said, the original specs may have called for screening, you say?
Filter fabric, which I can't answer right now. Without all, I don't know if.
Well, if it was spec, the fact that it's been 5 years, and if the contractor failed to do it, that wouldn't be a warranty. That would be a defect in the contract. So can you maybe, when you check that out, if it wasn't installed, we may have recourse. You don't think it was?
They said the other issue, though, too.
I don't know if that would that solve the problem.
Yeah. Well, the other issue, one of the main issues, is planking. I guess I should have brought some pictures really going around the sides of them.
So whether the fabric was spec and not installed may not have a fact. Well, if you could check on who's the original contractor, you know who that was.
How does this stop the flanking if you're going to grout the rock? Like, what are you going to do in the soil around the ends of it?
We're actually going up higher.
Thank you. Desi, you had a hand down here. Roll call on the motion, please.
Thank you.
Yes.
Caesar?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Greg Conley?
Aye.
Yes, thank you. That concludes this item. Let's go to item 11. Eric Williams. This is Elkhorn River Improvement Project Area Operation and Maintenance Assessment. Go ahead, Eric.
Good evening, everyone. We have this item on the agenda each year, once in spring. This is the annual assessment on the benefited parcels adjacent to the Elkhorn River Improvement Project Area. base the amount of benefit the parcel received, and then the assessment is based on three tiers of benefit. And so the attachments reflect the table of the parcels, benefited units, and then the assessed value on the parcel, and totals to $20,000, which is the annual increase target for the improvement project area fund. So we get a $250,000, and we're currently at $195,000. So there hasn't been any significant work in the IPA area since I've been at the NRD. Each year we add to that balance, and then we do inspections. And I talked to Tyra about the upcoming inspection month, basically trying to figure out if any work is needed. In that case, we would draw down from the fund. We haven't recently, so the fund values grow. If we get to $250,000, we would ask to reassess whether or not we want to continue increasing the value of that fund. That's essentially to be prepared for large-scale bank stabilization in the area. That hasn't been necessary. It's been pretty stable. So just a recommendation to approve the list of the parcels, the assessment, which we would then send to the assessor's office, treasurer's office, collect that for us, and send it over to our
move staff recommendation.
Second. I have a motion and a second. Anyone in the public wish to speak? Seeing none, directors. Roll call, please.
Beezer?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Rick Conley?
Aye.
Leahy?
Yes.
Sure. Yes. Now, you've got a whole list of things here, Eric.
I hope less than 30 minutes. This is the collection of the annual urban cost share programs. First, the urban conservation program. That's kind of small erosion and stabilization projects. We have two applications. The first is SID 276 in Sarpy County. That's Portal Ridge along Applewood Creek. And start. After the five pages, that will be attachment. So, page six. Great. And we've worked with this applicant before. The same engineer has applied on a number of projects. Pretty regularly, we see rock at the slope and then bank grading and stabilization. And that's what they're applying for here. And the idea is on the outer bank, they've got some erosion to be close to the backyard. They'd like to stabilize that. The total project cost here is estimated at $120,000, and the program is capped at $30,000, and so they ask for $30,000 cost. The second application is from SID 518 in Douglas County, that's Elkhorn View Estates. And I visited this site with a couple representatives from the SID a few months ago. And if we go to two more pages, Bill, maybe. Look for a map. There you go. Oh. Okay. So this is the outer bank. You can see the outer bank of what we're calling Pine Creek. Not sure if it has a name, but they're recommending some rock and I think also pile stabilization and then also some grade control in here. Two different programs we have, the Urban Conservation Assistance Program with spot correction. We have discussed a potential urban drainage wave program, be a more comprehensive program for this entire region, possibly from Maple all the way down toward Bondo. But in the short term, you can see that the outer bank is getting pretty close to the back of these fences and these houses. And so they would like to make some short-term correction in this location. This is a bigger project, $225,000. Again, the program is capped at $30,000. And so we're recommending that.
And that's the two urban conservation items?
Yes.
Chair, to entertain a motion, we approve those two items, and then we'll go ahead.
Second. Or move the staff recommendation.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Any public input on these? Seeing none, other discussion by directors? Well, let's vote on this. These two items, please.
Thompson?
Yes.
Rick Conley?
Aye.
Leahy?
Yes.
Yes. Now go right ahead, Eric.
Next is the urban drainage wave program that I mentioned. It's designed to be larger, comprehensive drainage waves. And there are three levels. Level three is 40% funding, kind of just emergency stabilization, keep water going downstream. Level 2 is 60% funding. It has some environmentally sensitive elements built into it, and it's designed to kind of restore some of the channel. Level 1, we haven't seen in a few years, would be a very environmentally sensitive design to provide 75% cost share. So the first application here listed is from Bellevue on Whitted Creek. They did apply at level 2, 60% cost share, and that does require the 319 program and the Nebraska Environmental Trust program applications to be completed prior to being approved here. And they have not completed those yet, so we notified Bellevue that we would recommend this at the lower 40% level. And then after we posted the memo, we removed this one. And so I think that there was a corrected version. So depending on which version you're looking at, Bellevue is in there. It should be removed, and we will not have that. So I just wanted to make sure we're clear about that. We expect that to come back next year at that level. We will work with them to make those other applications. So the first program you should see here is from Omaha, and it's Thomas Creek. This is north, just east of Interstate 680 at about Iowa Street. Here's a map. Get a couple more pages, Bill. There you go. So Thomas Creek comes, well, this is not directly north, but from the northwest and comes down to the southeast and eventually connects to the Little Papio Creek. And Omaha has a very comprehensive set of projects planned between Interstate 680 all the way down to Little Papio. This is phase one. The area is in very bad shape. An industrial area. Properties were built very, very close before there were guidelines for car setbacks. And they currently have some exposed sanitary as well as some other stability issues in this section. They did complete both the 319 application and the NET application within the last year, and we wrote letters of support and worked with them on both of those. They were approved for 319 funding. There's a copy of that letter included. They came very close, but were not approved for environmental trust funding. Our program guidelines do not require that they are approved, just they apply for that other environmentally sensitive funding. And so we recommend that this project be approved. And in the current budget, they have a three-year budget plan for this one. The first year would be $80,000. And so what's reflected in the memo is a recommendation for $80,000 to be included in the FY19 budget. And then we will bring back an interlocal that would reflect $350,000 in each of the next two budgets as we move from the design phase to the construction phase. And on these larger urban drainage way projects, one is $1.5 million expected total cost. We usually do an interlocal and do funding over a few years. Done three of these with Omaha in the last 5 years. They work really well. The work is great, and they have very positive outcomes for water quality, stream bed stability. So this seems like a good project. We'd recommend that this be approved now, and then we'll bring back interlocal probably in next month, pending Adam Wells. So that's the Thomas Creek project. And then there's one more from the city of Papillion. They have some erosion on the east edge of the east edge. There you go. If you're familiar with Terra Hills Golf Course, it's to the west here, and then there's Terra Hills Park. You can see some of the facilities there, the tennis courts. The channel both upstream of. Maybe I'll say that. Well, that street. upstream and downstream, you can see in this photo, the channel has been stabilized and rock has been put in. This section had trees. It was supposed to be park. It is starting to have erosion. And so Philly would now like to go in and remove those trees, do some more stabilization, and then kind of reconstruct some of the recreational facilities away from the channel. This is not a particularly environmentally sensitive design. It includes rock and basically just continuing to keep it where it is. So they apply to that 40% level. It's a good stabilization project to help protect the infrastructure in the area. And so we do recommend approving this a little lower cost. $301,000 is the expected cost, and their request is for $120,400, and we recommend that. This does not have a multi-year component. We expect to be able to complete this within 1 year. It's a smaller project, so we don't expect to have any multiple years. projects.
Let's get a motion on the floor on these two items.
Move staff recommendation.
Second.
Anyone in the public wish to speak? Seeing none, directors? No, go ahead.
The Thomas Group one. This is a great deal. We got such a good partnership with them. And I see where the work is being done. You follow that unnamed tributary up that way, and you get to, like, I think there's a Skateland or, like, a tractor supply company. Is there any way can we, over the next couple of years that this is going on, talk with the city about maybe just a small walking trail between those ballparks and Blair High Road? I mean, I think
yeah,
make it pretty nice for families.
So there are several phases of what they want to do in the Thomas Creek area, including up on the tributary to Blair High Road. So there will probably be quite a bit more work. It is very tight right away through there. Why are they doing some stabilization? Because erosion gets into the on both sides. So it's possible. We'll certainly take a look at what other options might be available. But that isn't currently in any of the, I think they have seven phases on the street. That isn't in any of the phases. We have mostly based on water quality, ability. We'll keep it that.
Yeah, wouldn't the time to do it be when you were stabilizing the bank? I mean, so you sort of get cost
yes,
savings, if you will.
And again, the it's I think some of the photos might show it a little better, but it is very, very close. There's actually not very much room at the top in order to do that type of work. And believe me, if there's room for trail, I would. we will keep it in mind, but it is a very tight work.
Question on this, Eric. How much of this is the lack of maintenance, keeping banks cleaned up and things like that?
Probably not very much in this location. It's more downcutting. But Marlon and I and Adam Holmes went out with the Corps of Engineers today to look at panels just like this that are downcutting and eroding sides. We have a Section 22 study that will investigate a number of locations like this across the entire watershed in the next few years. This one was on the list, didn't specifically visit it today, but it's an example of just continual downcutting. There is no great stabilization. That's where most of the problem is coming from. That's why we've got exposed sanitary or exposed area. But they do intend to put in great stabilization. Help avoid that.
All right. Unless there's other comments, let's vote on this item, please. Roll call.
Rick Conley.
Aye.
Lady.
Yes.
User.
Yes.
Johnson.
Yes.
Yes, the next is Recreation Area Development Program.
Yeah, and we've got several projects in this one. The first is from the city of Blair, the California Walking Trail. This is a second phase of a project that was originally applied for last year. Sorry, there's only a couple pages. Very short description. We originally approved this under the Recreation Area Program rather than the Trails Program because it also take people down to kind of a fishing area. So we met it last year, so they applied again for phase two, also under the recreation area program. This is the 10-foot wide, 7,000 foot, a little over a mile long trail by the Missouri River. It's a very inexpensive trail because it's rock surface on existing corridor they already have. It's just an upgraded trail. So phase two portion is the same as the phase one portion, 26,000. The next project, Bill, got the more paper. Yeah. The next project is from the village of Decatur. We don't hear a lot from, so we were very glad to receive an application from them. It was discussed earlier today, but electrical connections at RV parking locations are a popular amenity and help to bring people in. They have some electrical connections at the RV parking in Mexico River now, and but it's not enough to meet the needs. So they would like to upgrade the electrical connections at their RV park to the 50 amp service that a lot of the larger RVs need. And they're requesting cost share on that. The estimate is $40,000, and they're requesting $20,000. And we think that would help encourage people to come down to the park and right along the Missouri River and get those down. So we're recommending this. Next, Village of Herman. We had a lot of here. Village of Herman is looking to do, they have some playground equipment from a school that was closed, and they would like to relocate and reinstall the playground equipment at the city, village park. And so it's a relatively inexpensive way to keep that equipment available for the kids to use in the community. The estimate costs $10,000 to $5,000. So, like, build it work for them because, you know, that much. Next up is the Village of Homer. And this one, we will continue to work with them on. They provided some information, but we have not heard from them in a number of years. While I was here, so I think they were a little unfamiliar with the application process. I helped to complete the form and pull the documents together a little bit more for them. What they submitted was copies of quotes from contractors to do some baseball field, a recreation field renovation on the roof, and then the field service itself. So I then attached a map, and we will work with them to clarify exactly all of the details here. It's a little bit less developed application, but we do recommend approving this one as well. From now until the time when these projects are in the budget, we usually finalize some of those details. If it doesn't look like if they're ready to go or we can work that out before the first draft budget shows up. But again, the Village of Homer is not something we're not working with very often. I'd like to be able to support them in this recreation. Next up is Pavilion again, and this is the Terra Hills Park Shelter and Playground. So, Drainage Way is on the east end of the park. They need to move and reinstall some of the equipment, and then construct new equipment in the park. And so, they've got some description of what they'd like to do exactly, quotes of the equipment. They'd like to, as they do the Drainage Way work and open that up, they would like to basically upgrade some other facilities in the park at the same time. Some of the equipment needs to be moved back away from the Drainage Way, so they'll be reconstructing. There's a pavilion and some playground equipment, essentially. And there's some, you guys some photos that show kind of the type of equipment they would like to install. The total estimated cost is $160,000. They requested $50,000. So it's a good contribution on their part. And work in the same area as the Drainage Way. So we recommend helping them to upgrade the recreation facilities adjacent to the stream of those natural resources. We're also helping them. And then the last one is from South Sioux City. And I would give South Sioux City credit. They come up with the most innovative applications that we see. They have a former, what they call old tree farm. And if a couple pages fill, you'll find a map. So this is a tree farm where they planted and grew trees that were transplanted to other locations around the city. They are essentially done with that use of the location. They're going to remove the rest of the trees to their new locations, other parks. Some of the large trees will remain, and then they're going to convert that into recreation fields. So the request here is to support them in converting old tree farm park into recreation fields with some new amenities. And a lot of the very developed trees will remain. Again, they're investing $142,875, and then they're requesting $50,000. So they're making a pretty sizable investment on their side, and we'd like to support them in this natural resource-based recreation field. So that's the last recreation area project.
And some of these is $160,681, and the chair would entertain a motion.
Move the staff recommendation.
Second.
Yes, thank you. Is there anyone to publish for this? Wants to speak to this? Directors? Director Thompson.
We're going to give away how many thousand trees for Earth Day?
Yeah.
10,000 shrubs.
10,000 shrubs. Oh. I was going to say for 100. To take away to kill these poor trees, man, and make soccer fields. Come on. Wouldn't it be easier to just turn them into firewood and give them all these shrubs?
They're being transplanted into other parks, as far as I
know. They're not losing any.
They're not losing the trees. They're intentionally moving them to where they're supposed to be. Parks. And okay. They realize that
just,
when they do that.
To me, it just sounds kind of silly. But maybe looking at the map, there's not a lot of other green space, I guess, huh?
It's a good location in town. They don't have a lot of other
Where's the baseball field?
I
see four soccer fields. What about good old American baseball?
I think there's a baseball field. Marlon, you want to help with that? You know a lot more about
it. Can we amend that to put in baseball?
You know what's on the, yes, well, this one is on the east side of town. There you go.
Yeah. Baseball's on the west.
Oh, you have to cross town to get to one.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, two questions on these. I think last year we talked about when we do stuff like this, we'd love to see our sign on the project. Is that policy? Is that included in the cost? Okay. Excellent. Thank you. Next thing is, so my understanding is management can approve any of these projects up to $20,000. So I was just wondering, like, is there any particular reason some of these under $20,000 were sent to us and not just management approving?
Because they're applied under the grant program, so that's why they're all included.
I mean, my understanding even in the grant program is, what does it say, that management has approval up to $20,000. I was just curious. And then were any, like that Bellevue project and the previous one, were any turned away, any applicants turned away?
There were a couple projects that we didn't end up recommending because they didn't quite meet the guidelines. So we, the recreation area, yes, there was one that we did not recommend. The city of Bellevue applied for a B-cycle program expansion, which we had talked to them about in the past. Their application was for a newer version of the B-cycles, which are... not a station-based B-cycle, but a B-cycle dash. Yeah. So there is no physical location. So the recreation area development program for location, they didn't intend to use our trail mostly for that project, but it wasn't an area, so it didn't go.
Okay. It's two for Bellevue. And then last one is just sort of a comment. I mean, it's great to see Decatur, Herman, and Homer applying and, you know, it's, I'm not going to oppose any of these, but it's interesting with Herman, you know, $10,000 for playground equipment, where you see Papillion, $160,000 for playground equipment. And, you know, I'm wondering if we're just $10,000 for some playground equipment that's 50 years old, that's not going to be used anyways. I mean, that's why the school isn't there. So just a comment there. And with those three towns, I mean, they fall under urban conservation assistance program. We don't have anything for a rural conservation assistance. I mean, it's just sort of like we're stretching the use of the term urban with those communities.
Any jurisdiction, any government agency is helpful, which is why we see applications, SIDs. That means all the way from municipal class all the way down to the village.
Okay.
And we don't have a sanction for another type of option.
Is there any way by Thursday we can like take a look at the picture of the Herman playground equipment? I mean, you know, if they're going to apply to us, let's help them dream big, dream Papillion. You know, I mean, if you saw the pictures of Papillions, it looks nice. That's the new age playground, which I guess all the kids like. You know, I can just imagine, was this a swing set? You know, just, I'm curious.
Okay, any other comments?
We have a motion on the floor.
I guess just to address the Herman thing, have you been to Herman?
Yeah, I have.
Okay. It's not a large town, not a large budget. So, you know, $5,000 or $10,000 in a Herman budget is a big deal.
Yeah, exactly. And for goodwill out in that area, absolutely. I mean, we don't want those folks to think that we forget about them. But that's why, I mean, I'm not saying to oppose it, but maybe hold their hand and say, you know, can we dream a little bit bigger?
Well, yeah, the issue would be, again, how much can they come up with?
Right? Yeah.
Not how much we can come up with, how much can they come up with?
We can only find a percentage. Of
true.
Those four kids are going to have good.
Yeah. But it's probably a three swing set, so they're going to have to take turns. You know? Yeah.
But at least we're recycling it, so they're not exposed.
Okay, there you go. Good stuff.
Roll call on the motion.
Lady?
Yes.
User?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Hi. Yes. Now moving ahead to the Trails Assistance Program.
The first one is SID 441 in Douglas County, and that's Waterford. Get the map, Bill. Next page. There you go. All right. You see in the very upper right portion of this map, that's Waterford Lake, which is a water quality feature upstream from Standing Bear. Yes, Standing Bear. There's a trail that runs most of the way around. You can see in the very top point out of the photo there is an existing trail. They would like to bring that trail down around the existing clubhouse, across at the kind of sidewalk crossing on the roundabout, and then they have somewhat of an existing trail following that little drainage way, and they would like to, I don't know if that was partially built or what that was, but they would like to upgrade that to be a full trail to connect over to 153rd Street, provide better access to the trail and around the lake, some of the residents who are a little further to the west. With some of these from ENA, we received kind of conceptual type of drawings first, and then they do more design work later. We'll make sure and keep in touch with them on the proximity of the trail to the drainage way there. That's quite well stabilized, and we don't expect any problems, but we just want to make sure that they are put in an area where there might be erosion and come back and help, or they might try and ask for corrective help later. But there's additional access to the trail and the lake for residents. The other project here is from Walt Hill, and they started about 3 years ago with a comprehensive plan for recreation trails around the baseball field area. And I think there's a photo. Yep. Maybe one more. A wide view with that. Okay, here you go. And so they have built one phase already. The second phase is, I think, out for construction now, and so they are requesting funding on the third phase. And this is all following on a trails master plan, which is an impressive concept that they were able to put together in kind of a smaller location. And then I expect that they will then request funding on the last phase, which is for the Orange Park, which will be a kind of a more natural trail connection through to the park on the other side of the park. And so we're glad to work with them on continuing to move this forward. They'll be creative in their implementation also, and matching money together to make happen. So I think that our assistance has been very important to them being able to bring this asset to their community. And we're glad to continue recommending support for this. This is phase three of their four phases.
Question on that, if I could, please. While you got that slide up there, explain the difference between the dark blue and the yellow.
I think they modified the amount that they were going to construct from the previous exhibit. I believe the yellow line was the original master plan concept, and then when they did the design work on phase two, they needed to go over and in a different location than where they originally conceived the trail. And then phase two was supposed to make it all the way over to the building right near where it says 475, and they indicated that the budget they had was limited, and so they were only able to build over to the parking lot on the west side of the ball field, the west side of the ball field there. So phase three now will cover additional connection from the parking lot over to the road at the north end there, as well as a portion of the work on the south. So again, they're trying to kind of keep things moving forward in their limited budget circumstances to make sure they get to that end outcome of a comprehensive trail around the ball field and through the natural area on the south with Titonia.
Thank you. And you're done with your presentations, are you not?
There are just two, yes.
Chair to entertain a motion on these two.
Move a staff recommendation.
Second.
Anyone in the public wish to speak? Directors? Director Leahy?
Two questions. No, why don't you guys subcommittee?
Talk on everything.
The Waterford Trail one down by North 153rd Street. What are they doing with that like S shape? Is that like a real steep hill that they need to climb?
I have not been to that exact location. Usually you would see that in order to keep it less than 5%. You would switch back up a hill like that. That's not in a lot of locations. Finally, when I looked at that, I had the same question.
Yeah.
And so that's one of those design features that we'll go ahead and look at and make sure we understand why they're doing that.
Yeah.
We assume that that's because it's a steep climb from down by the channel up to the top by 153rd Street. 5% is not that much. You have to kind of get creative in order to stay up.
Okay. But there's a house like right there, and you would think that would reduce the cost quite a bit if they can even just make it one little loop around. or adjust that in any way? And then same question as before, were there any applications that were turned away or didn't make the cut or were only half complete for this?
There were not this year. In several of the programs, there are expected carryovers. So we continue to work with cities and jurisdictions all the way through about June 1st when we ask for the reimbursements. So last year, there was quite a bit more funding in this program. So some of those projects take longer than 1 year to get the final design, the construction completed. So a bunch of those are ongoing. We have received some notification of carryover going on. And so we think that a lot of people who are traditionally doing that work are still involved in the last project. Don't have enough money or time to put another application. So we didn't turn any away, but there were only two applications last year because of other projects.
Anybody else wish to comment? Roll call, please.
Caesar?
Yes.
Yes.
Aye.
Lady?
Yes.
Yes. Now the next item is lake dredging.
Lake dredging, and we did receive an application this year. It's from Waterford, which we just talked about. Look at the map on this one, Bill. All right. So there you can see Standing Bear, and this map actually shows Standing Bear written in the middle of Waterford. That's Waterford up in the upper left quadrant of the map. It is a water quality basin for Standing Bear, and the developer knew that at the time. Residents are aware of that. Water quality basins are intended to collect silt and keep it from getting into the lake, but they would like to continue to maintain open water, a lake style, rather than a sediment basin, more like wetlands. And so they over-excavated at the time of the original construction. They have done dredging here once already, and they would like to continue dredging to keep this open lake so that it has the recreation benefits, trail, tribe community. They looked into this about 2 years ago and contacted us. We alerted them to the lake dredging program. They then kind of figured out what would be the maximum amount of dredging that could possibly be needed. They thought it would be on the order of a few $100,000. They got a more recent quote that was between $1 million and $1.5 million. We let them know that our program is 50%, capped at $100,000. And that if they wanted to do some smaller amount of lake dredging, kind of keep things moving, we would be glad to recommend approval on that. But this is there is known to be more sediment in here from upstream development because that's the design of the location. So we don't know if this is the last time that they would want to do work here. And we don't necessarily have guidelines in this program for frequency of application. And so we will probably have discussion with them in the future about if they intend to do recurring applications. Are they going to come back and do $200,000 of dredging every other year and ask for $100,000 to push total contribution to the district up? If it looks like that's their long-term plan, we might come up with some other discussion with them about how to get that done because that seems like it's kind of outside of the spirit of what we're attempting to do here. But in the interim, this is a smaller amount of dredging than they had scoped for the entire lake. And the last page shows the area where they'll target that work. And a large portion of the cost was actually, we got one more spot there. A large portion of the cost is actually in transport. So you can see that they're going to put the material on the east side over there rather than take it off site. If they were to do as much dredging as they could plan, they would need to move that to another location. That's very expensive. So this is kind of a much smaller project than old dredge to get back to don't believe it. So this is, again, kind of a smaller project than they had overall wanted, but they recognize this still provides benefit to water quality here and downstream. So we'll keep in touch with them in the future and see where their long-term plan goes. But in the interim, guidelines for the program, and they're estimating $230,000
over $100,000.
Turn your motion. Staff recommendation.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Anyone on the public wish to speak? Directors?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jim.
They're just going to do the edge, and there's that big white spot included, or what? Just the
Yes, I believe so. They would, and I think this is because of the logistics of doing dredging. If you reach the edge from outside the lake easily, you reach the end, I think from not totally sure. I would have to verify with Bob how these areas were identified. But in the middle, it's deeper, and I think it's much more expensive to large depth of dredging than it is to short depth. So that's where they're targeting the removal, is the sediment accumulated in the shallowest area.
So do we normally dredge any sediment basins in our, that we've created? I know we dredged Lake Zerinsky a while back, but while imported. I mean, is this normal?
Or? We've got other applicants for this program.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
Have we done it?
Yeah. Well, they just, last year we allocated 149,000.
We've done several. But not all of them are designed sediment based. Some of those are lake fire sediment, yeah. As developers might not be as should be sediment control. This one is a design sediment based. But
if nothing's done for 40 more years, going to get thicker and thicker, right?
Most of the upstream watershed on this tributary of Standing Bear is already developed. There's a small area that's left, but I think that what they estimated in there, something like $1.5 million dredging program, would have been everything that they would ever need to do, because there's not, most of the sediment comes during the original development. Ongoing, you don't have nearly as much runoff in the developed area. So, I think that's where their larger number came from, was how much could we possibly dredge out of here ever to match the fully developed watershed for this particular. I think that's what they had gotten to with their other number. They didn't explain it, but
okay.
So there isn't a lot more sediment to come down. It's mostly developed up.
The purpose of a sediment basin is obvious here. It's doing its work, and I'm going to oppose dredging of this thing. It's just, if their neighbors want it dredged, let them do it. But it's still a viable sediment basin until it completely fills up. It's they want a nice amenity, and this thing's already serving its purpose. I just don't see spending $100,000 of taxpayer money on this place. I may be alone, but that's my thought. You got a thought on this one?
Oh, maybe not. In fact, I was biting my tongue. I was going to say it for Thursday. I felt like I had already hit my quota, but...
You have.
Yeah. Eric, I heard you say, though, if we do this, there is still a benefit to Standing Bear.
Yeah.
If we don't do this, is there any benefit to Standing Bear or to this area? I mean, is there a benefit to letting it go to wetlands versus...
I don't think there's a benefit to having wetlands rather than an open surface. And I don't think all the engineers who do that kind of stuff are out. But
attract more stuff.
But there's more benefit if we do the dredging. It's not needed, yeah. But there is a more benefit. Plus, they get the amenity, like you said.
Yeah. Hence,
well, we have used this program on another sediment.
Right. We have.
There's another sediment basin on the other side of the lake, Stanley, south of Portsmouth. And show up on the photo in the other place. And the SID around that. In fact, I think that. And so you have our sediment basin.
And the deeper water does allow that more sediment to fall out before it gets to the lake. So you can see, it's not a technical indicator, but you can see in the aerial the darker color on the deeper portion of the lake, the lighter color on the shallower portion of the lake. That's sediment essentially in the lake. And as you go down into Standing Bear, you can see the same thing. So deeper water does provide more benefit. That's down into the main reservoir where the main recreation facility is. So the more catchment area you have in the sediment basin, the better you're going to do at maintaining down.
Any other directors have comments? Roll call on the motion.
Yes.
Chris Conley.
Aye.
Lady?
Yes.
Peter?
Yeah.
Sure.
No. I believe that completes our agenda.
Sure.
Do you see it?